Folks, we do give you all a very warm welcome to our service this morning. To those who are at home, perhaps listening in online, to those that have gathered with us in the church building this morning, to each one, we do give you a very warm welcome, and we trust that we'll know the blessing of the Lord, even in the Lord meeting with us this morning. We're glad to see your brother Mervyn Steenson back with us tonight, or this morning. I hope he will be back tonight, but we leave that with him, see how he feels. But we're glad to see you, Mervyn. We've been upholding you before the throne of grace in prayer, so it's good to see you, right? Very special welcome to our preacher today, Mr. Stephen Crawford. He's been with us before. He was here last year during the time of Mr. Smiley's holiday period. He was with us in the prayer meeting as well, so we're glad to see him back with us. And we do trust that the Lord will bless him. He's a final year student for the ministry. He's currently assistant to the minister in the Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church, helping out there. And like our brother Jonathan's story 2 weeks ago, he's getting married in June. Jonathan's July, so you'll need to pray for him as well. Do remember in your prayers, even as the time of college finishes, that a door will open up for him, for the ministry and for the preaching of the word. We're glad to have you, Stephen. We pray that God will bless you this morning. In the evening service at 7 p.m, preceded by the church prayer meeting, 6:20 to 6:45 up in the youth room. We trust that you'll come that little bit earlier and that you'll join with us for that season of prayer, please. At 7 p.m, Mr. Stephen Crawford will be the preacher for the gospel service. And then at approximately 8:30, after the evening service, the after church for youth meeting, up in the youth room again, Stephen will be speaking to the young people. And all youth are welcome to come to that meeting. As you leave this morning, there will be baskets at the doors that we use in the morning, and you can leave your offerings there as you leave. We do appreciate your compliance with all the restrictions that are placed on us at the moment as you enter and exit and while in the building. We thank you for that. During the week, Monday morning, 10:30 to 11:30, the little sunbeams, parent and toddlers, meeting over in the church hall, and the workers there that are involved in that, could we remind you of that? Then tomorrow evening, 6:45 to 8 p.m, the Awana meets in the church hall as well. So do remember those two meetings tomorrow. On Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock, the Bible study, prayer meeting in the church hall. Our own minister will be back to take that meeting, and we'll be continuing the studies in John 17, and the theme is In Touch with the Father. Thursday evening, for the committee and session, there is a church committee meeting at 7:30, followed by a Kirk session meeting when the other meeting finishes. Any items for the committee agenda must be submitted by Tuesday evening at the latest, please. Next Lord's Day, the 30th of January, 10 a.m, the Sunday school, 11:30 a.m, family worship. And the minister will be along Mr. Smiley to speak at the morning service. Excuse me. The communion service for all who know and love the Lord will be at the close of the morning service. We didn't have one in December. We had one on the first Sunday of January, and we're having the other one now on the last Sunday, next Sunday morning, after the service. If you require replacement cups, the little box is on the table there in the foyer. Please feel free and take them, and they'll be there tonight. They'll be there again on Tuesday evening for the communion service. Next Sunday night, 7 p.m, special family and friends night service. Our testimonies from husband and wife Jim and Susan Gray. So do come to that meeting. The special soloist is Mrs. Vivian McCoy. Everyone's welcome. Invite others, please, to come and bring them with you to the meeting next Sunday night. The pre-church prayer meeting again, 6:20, 6:45 before that. And just then, generally, do remember those that are sick in the congregation, those that are still laid aside, recovering from treatment and other issues. Do remember them in your daily private prayers and bring them before the Lord in prayer. These are all the announcements. I'm going to hand the meeting over to our brother, Mr. Stephen Crawford. Brother, we trust that you'll feel at home, and may God give you help in the ministry today. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to thank our brother for the very kind words of welcome, and your minister, the Reverend Smiley, for the opportunity to be along again today. I'm delighted and I feel privileged to be back, and I know I feel at home when I come here, and I thank you for your prayers for us as students, and I know myself and Jonathan would value your prayers even more this year as we embark on that great journey of marriage and seeking the Lord's face for future service. We're going to open our service this morning by singing of the Psalm number 61. Psalm number 61, and we'll remain seated while we sing the words of this Psalm 61.
Thank you.
We're going to come now and we're going to commit our time to the Lord in prayer. So I invite you to stand with me, please, if you're able to, as we seek the face of the Lord this morning. Our gracious God and loving eternal Heavenly Father, we just take this time at the very outset of this service, Lord, to still ourselves afresh before Thee. Lord, we bow humbly and reverently before Thee, acknowledging, O God, the great and awesome privilege that we have to come into Thy thrice holy presence, the One who is the great Jehovah, the Three in One. And O our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee afresh that we come not upon any merit of our own, for Lord, we have no merit of our own. Lord, our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags in Thy sight. But Lord, we thank You that we come afresh upon the righteousness and upon the merit alone of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour and Redeemer, Thine only begotten and own dear Son. And Lord, we thank You for Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. I thank You, Lord, that today we are accepted in the Beloved. I thank You, Lord, that we have received His righteousness, that, Lord, we have been justified in Thy sight through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege not only to bow in Thy presence, but, Lord, we thank You for the privilege that we have to come around Thy precious word this morning. And, Lord, we do ask and pray that as we come and we meet around Thy word, and as we are in the house of God in Thy presence, as we are with brethren and sisters of like precious faith, Lord, we do pray that, Lord, we would know a real sense of Thy presence here in the meeting house. Lord, we know that there are those who cannot be here due to illness or some other reason, Lord, and we do pray that, Lord, Thou wouldst meet with them in their homes or perhaps wherever they may be listening in from this morning. We do pray that Thou wouldst bless them and minister unto their needs today as well. Lord, we thank You for the means of the technology where those who cannot come to the house of God are able to tune in. And Lord, we do pray that, Lord, Thou wouldst even bless these means, Lord, for Thy glory and for Thine honour alone. O Lord, we acknowledge that, Lord, we need Thee. Every hour we need Thee. Lord, we cannot go through a moment of the day without Thee, Lord. Lord, we depend upon Thee for every breath that we have. Lord, for all of our physical and all of our temporal needs. And Lord, most of all, for our spiritual needs. And Lord, I thank You that, Lord, Thou art able to meet us at the very point of our need. And Lord, as our faces differ this morning, so do our needs. And I pray that, Lord, Thou wouldst meet every one at the point of their need. Lord, we think of those, as our brother has mentioned, associated with this congregation, who are sick and laid aside. And Lord, some who fell unwell very suddenly. And Lord, I do pray for all of those today who are laid aside at this time. We pray for those young people who have COVID. We pray for those who have other serious ailments and illnesses, Lord. And Lord, we commit them unto Thee, the One who is the great physician and the One who is able to touch and the One who is able to bring healing where perhaps normal medicine perhaps cannot. And Lord, we pray that everyone who is sick and laid aside, Lord, that would know the hand of God upon their lives, upon their frame as well, to touch them, Lord, and to strengthen them and to encourage them at this difficult time in their life. Lord, we pray for those as well, perhaps who mourn and whose hearts are heavy. And Lord, we acknowledge that every day there are those passing out into eternity. And Lord, we do pray that Thou wouldst comfort those and sustain those who have suffered bereavements, that, Lord, they would know that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms of the eternal God. And we thank You that the eternal God is our refuge and our strength. Lord, we pray for Thy servant, Mr. Smiley, who labours here week by week, and we thank You for him and for all of his labours. We do pray that Thou wouldst bless him and his wife today. We do pray for the session and the committee and the oversight of this congregation. Lord, we pray for them. We pray for every brother that, Lord, Thou wouldst give wisdom and give help and strength, Lord, for every decision, Lord, that needs to be made regarding the work here. We pray for unity, Lord. We pray, O God, that Thou wouldst give them the mind of God for every decision and for the even, Lord, what would lie ahead through this year for them, Lord. We pray for every worker. We thank You for them, Lord. We thank You for every family member, for every individual. and every communicant member and friend of the work here, Lord. Lord, bless them, I pray today. And Lord, may thy word be a blessing to their hearts as they listen to thy word. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God would come and take of the word and write it upon our hearts. Lord, remember our land today. Oh God, our land is so far from God. And Lord, it's seeking to go further and further away from thee and seeking to promote sin. And Lord, we pray against it. Lord, we pray for those who would seek to bring and legislate for wickedness and evil. Lord, we pray that their plans would be brought to naught. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would scatter them. That, Lord, if thou wilt not save them, then, Lord, silence them, we pray. And, O God, we pray that our land would be taken back to days of gospel revival where men and women and young people would be desiring to hear thy word. Lord, we acknowledge that there's a famine for hearing the word of God in these days. And, Lord, we just praise thee that there are still those who are faithful to thee and to thy word. And we pray, O God, that we would see thee move. We pray, O God, that thou wast come, Lord, and rend the heavens and come down. That thou wast pour us out a blessing, Lord, that we would not have room to contain it. O Lord, we desire, Lord, for thy name to be glorified. We desire, Lord, for sinners to be saved and for our Saviour to be magnified. As Paul said, that he would have all the preeminence. And it's in his precious name we humbly ask and pray these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. At this point, we're going to have our scripture reading. And I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms. And it is that psalm that we sang just a few moments ago, Psalm number 61. Psalm number 61. And we're going to read the psalm in its entirety. It's only 8 verses. So please turn with me to Psalm 61 for our scripture reading this morning. Psalm 61, commencing to read at verse number 1. This is the word of God. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle for ever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God for ever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name for ever, that I may daily perform my vows. Amen. We will end our reading there at the verse number 8. And we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts for his own name's sake and glory. Amen. At this point, I'd just like to bring a very brief children's talk, and it's good to see boys and girls in the house of God this morning, and I've tried to keep it as simple as possible. And I was thinking of comparisons between the Christian and the Word of God. Now, it's pretty basic because the Bible, as you see, it says there at the front of it that it's holy. And as a Christian, from our life, from our attitude and from our words and what we say and what we do, it ought to be seen from our lives outwardly that we are holy. Now, why is the Word of God holy? It says here, Holy Bible. It is because of what is contained within the pages. It is because it is the Word of God. And the Bible says that God is holy. And since God is holy, then His Word is holy. And so we ought to be holy on the inside as well. But we can only be holy if we have the person whom the Bible speaks to us about, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the very center of this word. It's all about him, from Genesis to Revelation, and at the very heart of the message of the Bible is the gospel. And it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about his great work of redemption,
how he came to save sinners. And boys and girls, it tells us that we have been born in sin. And it tells us that we need to be saved. And that there is only one way for us to be saved. And that is by coming and putting our faith and trust in the one in whom the Bible is all about. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Another little example we can learn from this is that the Bible has a cover. And you know, we need to have a cover. In other words, we need to have a spotless garment. And our spotless garment is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he suffered and bled and died on the cross, he suffered to purchase for us something which we need, something which we do not have. You know, if we want to come into God's presence, we need to have his righteousness. You know, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. And you know, we need to have that spotless garment, like a big coat. You know, you put your coat on to keep yourself warm in the winter time. Well, think of it like that. We need a spiritual coat, as it were. And that is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then another thing about this cover. This cover is made from the leather of an animal. So an animal had to die for this Bible to have a cover. And this is an expensive cover. It's made with the skin of a goat. Mightn't be too tasteful to some vegetarians and people like that today. But the cover was very expensive. And you know, that reminds me as well that there's a cost to our salvation. There's a cost for us to have the righteousness of Christ. And that was because the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered and he bled and died. Oh yes, salvation for us is free. But it cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life. And you know, thinking about the Word of God at the very heart of this book. From Genesis to Revelation, it is all of God's Word. And that reminds me as well, boys and girls, that as the person and work of Jesus Christ is at the very heart of this Word. So it reminds me that we need the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and life. And I want to ask you, as I bring my little children's address to a close, is the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart? Is your life holy because you have Jesus in your heart? Does your life speak and point to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm sure you've heard it often said that, you know, a lot of people out there, they will never pick up the Bible to read it. But you know what they will do? They will read your life. They will look at your life. And if you profess to be saved, if you identify as a Christian, well, they're going to hold you up to greater scrutiny than anybody else. Why? Because you're identifying yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings with it responsibility. That brings with it the fact that you need to be living as so you profess to live. That you, as a Christian, ought to be living as a Christian. So that holiness is seen in your life and my life. And that is a challenge for every one of us here this morning. Just as the Bible is God's Word, are we living testimonies? Are we living examples? Are we walking Bibles by how we live, by how we speak, how we walk in our day-to-day lives? That's a challenge to every one of us, both young and old. And I pray that the Lord would even bless these few thoughts to our hearts from his word for his own name's sake. Amen. We're going to sing again, and we're going to sing the hymn number 625. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Thank you. Amen. We're going to bow again in prayer before we come to God's word and seek his face for his help this morning upon the preaching of his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege again to bow in thy presence. And Lord, as we continue on in thy presence, we thank you for the very reading of thy holy word, and we thank you for the words of that hymn we have just been singing. And Lord, I pray that thou, Lord, thou wouldst even bless the words of that hymn to those who are weak and heavy laden, those who are cumbered with a load of care. Lord, we praise thee that the Saviour is our refuge, and Lord, that we can take it to thee in prayer. O Lord, I pray that as we come now to consider thy word, I humbly ask and pray for thy help, Lord, to bring thy word. Lord, empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit, I pray. And Lord, bless those who are in the meeting house and those watching on. And Lord, give us help to listen to thy word. And Lord, may the Spirit of God write thy word upon our hearts, that Lord, we would not just be hearers, but Lord, that we would be doers of thy word as well. Lord, bless thy word especially to those who are sick and laid aside, Lord. And Lord, those who perhaps are going through different or difficult trials and circumstances which perhaps nobody else knows about, Lord, but Lord, thou dost know. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, thou wouldst write thy word upon their hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name we humbly pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. Turn with me back in your Bibles to Psalm number 61, please. And while we're turning again to God's word, I just want to say it is good to see each and every one again out in the house of God this morning. And perhaps if you're not able to be here, we welcome you, those of you who are watching online, and we trust the Lord will bless you as well, wherever you're watching in from today as well. You know, it's good for us to be able to be in the house of God. It's good for us to be in the presence of the Lord as well. And you know, the psalmist David here, he desired to be in the house of God as well. Although in this psalm we find that he is not in the house of God. And he desires to be in that place where the Lord's presence is felt. You see, David was used to regularly going up to the house of God, or as it was in his day, the tabernacle, to worship the Lord. But in this psalm we find that David was in a place of distress. David was in a place of difficulty. And I trust and pray that as we come to look at this psalm, and we're not going to look at it entirely, but I want to look at the first three verses this morning, and I trust and pray that the Lord would bless these thoughts to your hearts. And perhaps if you feel like the psalmist here, as he says in verse 2, if you feel overwhelmed this morning, that you would be blessed and that the Lord would draw close to you this morning and write his word upon your heart. You see, David says here in verse 2 that he felt overwhelmed. And that signifies that he had a shroud or a cloth, or he had a covering over him which caused him to feel distressed and grief-stricken. We could say that he was shrouded by sorrow, by grief and by troubles. Now, commentators differ as to the specific circumstances as to why David felt in such a position, but we can say that he was far from the house of God. He was in exile. Perhaps, most likely, he was on the run from his son Absalom when Absalom sought to deprive his father from off the throne. Now, despite not being able to be dogmatic on the circumstances behind the penning of the psalm, nonetheless, the Holy Spirit inspired David to pen this psalm for a good reason. In other words, for the benefit of those who would read it in years to come. David felt overwhelmed. And that is an experience and a situation which none of us are immune from in our lives. Especially as our brother was saying to me a few moments ago before the start of the service, how that many were in this congregation were struck down with ill health. And suddenly, in a moment of time, how that illness had come upon some in the congregation. But I want to look this morning at this psalm, and I want us to think of a word for when we are overwhelmed. A word for when we are overwhelmed. And the first thought I want to draw to your attention is that the psalmist prayed. The psalmist prayed. Now read with me verses 1 and 2. David says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Here David commences this psalm by seeking the Lord in prayer. He says, "Hear my cry, O God." And that word "cry" there, it signifies a ringing cry. The word in the original, it expresses a shrill or a piercing cry. Now it could be one of joy or one of lamentation. My belief here is one of lamentation, as David was going through a difficult time in his life. And here David wanted the Lord to pay attention unto his prayer. And we see that by those words, "Attend unto my prayer." That was his desire. That was his request. He said, "Lord, attend unto my prayer." David was in exile, as we already thought about there in his life at this point when he penned this psalm. Now, whenever you think of being in exile, you know that being in exile, you're far from home. You're far from the comforts of home. You're far from the security of home. You're far from the peace of home. You're far from the family that you love. You're far from your friends. You're far from fellowship. You're far from feeling secure. And you may end up even becoming fearful because you're in exile. The psalmist David was no different. David had his many enemies. Yes, he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who was the king of Israel. But yet he had many who were against him. You know, at times I'm sure he felt very lonely. Even when his own son sought to depose him from the throne. There was times where David was on the run from King Saul as well in his life. When King Saul was jealous of David, he knew that David would one day be king, and he sought to slay David. And I'm sure as David sought to run from Saul, I'm sure there was times in his life when he felt like he was on his own, that he felt isolated. And you know, we're not immune from feeling like that either. At times we can feel that we feel lonely, that there, perhaps if you're going through a difficulty and you feel that, well, nobody else knows what it's like. Nobody else knows what I am going through. And you know, at times, brethren and sisters, we can feel like that. We can feel lonely. We can feel distant from the Lord. We can feel distant from the people of God. And I'm sure that was very prevalent over these past 2 years when we were unable to meet as we were used to before COVID. And that's why I wanted to say it is good to see you here in the house of God. And even if you're tuning in, it's good that you're with us as well. And David says here, "From the end of the earth, I will cry unto thee." Now this is a bit of an exaggerated statement, or a hyperbole if you want to use that expression. And here David is expressing a great distance. In other words, he is saying that no matter how far he is away from the house of God, he's going to cry unto God. He's going to seek the Lord in prayer. And you know, that's a wonderful thing, because no matter where we are, whether we are in the house of God or we are far away from the house of God, whether we are in the presence of God, among the people of God, or not among the people of God, that doesn't hinder our prayers. That doesn't hinder the fact that we can pray. Because we can pray anywhere. We can pray at any time. Because our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. And we can seek his face. Excuse me. And we can seek his face. And distance does not determine whether we pray or not. Oh yes, sometimes we can use that excuse that we won't pray because we don't feel like praying. But here we see that David, he was determined to pray. He says, "I will cry unto thee." Now we see that there is two words "cry" there. There is a word "cry" in verse 1 and a word "cry" in verse 2. Now, same English word, but it's a different word in the Hebrew. And this word in verse 2, it speaks of to call out to. And here David was calling out unto God. He was in a difficult and a lamentable position. And so what did he do? He called out unto God. Despite his circumstances which were not pleasant, nor his desire was to seek God, he was determined to cry unto the Lord in prayer. I wonder, dear child of God, if you were in such a position, would prayer be the first thing you would engage in? Or would it be to lift up your phone and to contact somebody? But yet the Lord is only a prayer away. You don't need a mobile phone to talk to the Lord. You don't need internet. You don't need Wi-Fi. All you have to do is to bow your head and your heart and to seek the Lord by faith in prayer. Here David was calling out unto the Lord. He was determined to pray. I wonder if you were in such a position, would you be determined to pray? This is something which we all need to be engaged in. Determining to pray. Determined to pray about whatever the circumstance or whatever the situation, to take it to the Lord in prayer, as Joseph Scriven said in his hymn. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Saviour, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. David here acknowledges in verse 2. He confesses to the Lord how he feels. And I know at times that we can be private. You know, some of us are very private individuals and we don't like to tell others how we feel. We don't like others knowing, excuse me, perhaps how we feel. But you know, brethren and sisters, we can take it to the Lord. We can tell the Lord how we really feel. And this is what David did. Notice here what he says. He says, when my heart is overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed. You see, David was a man who knew what it was to feel overwhelmed. Many instances in his life's experience, he knew what it felt to be overwhelmed. To have all the pressures perhaps of leading Israel as the king. The pressures of leading the army as well. Perhaps the pressures of being a father and all the responsibilities perhaps as well. He felt overwhelmed by his many sins. David, yes, he was a man after God's own heart, but he was a sinner, just like you and I. He knew what it was to fall into sin. He knew what it was to disobey God. And perhaps at times the devil brought that up before him and he felt overwhelmed. And you know, at times we can feel overwhelmed by our sinfulness. We can feel overwhelmed at times by our lack of faith. And how we perhaps are not progressing spiritually as we'd like to as believers. But you know, dear Christian, whenever we feel overwhelmed because of our sins, remember the words of John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we can always plead the merit of Christ and his precious blood and his righteousness to deal with those matters of our sins. But he felt overwhelmed. He felt this shroud over him because he was far from the house of God. He was far from the people of God. He wanted to be in the house of God, worshipping the Lord in his presence. And how many today, sadly, who are healthy and well, yet have not come back to the house of God. And they could be here. And yet what are they doing? They are robbing themselves. They are kidding themselves, thinking that they can worship at home. But yet it's not the same. And I know the internet is a lifeline for those who are not well. But if you're healthy and well, you ought to be at the house of God. Because there's nothing like it. There's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord among like-minded people of the same precious faith who love the Lord and want to worship the Lord as he has commanded us to in his word. David refers to the heart here. And that is referring to his inner man, where the mind, the will and understanding. And he felt this heavy load. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, when he felt like he couldn't go on any further. And at times we feel like that, don't we? He felt that garment of heaviness which can wrap a sad heart, as he said. Psalm 107 verse 5 tells us, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. You know, if we faint physically, it is probably because we are not looking after our bodies properly with the right food and water. But if we faint spiritually, it is because we are far from fellowship with God. Now, it isn't God that moved, but it is we that have moved. If we are not taking that time to feed ourselves spiritually by reading the Word, praying over it, meditating upon it, by praying to the Lord, well, then we will faint. We will become weary as Christians. When we think of our congregations and the stalwarts of our congregations and how they have been unable to get back to church perhaps during this past 2 years, and they are greatly missing God's house. This is what I thought about when I thought about David. You know, David longed to be in the house of God. And he says similar words in Psalm 42, if you turn back with me to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, he desired to be in the presence in the house of God. If you read there in verses 1 and 2, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? There he speaks of being in the presence of God, to appear before God. His soul thirsts for God. He was feeling down. Notice there, verse 5, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. David was cast down. He was a man who was cast down many times in his life. He was a man who knew what it felt to be overwhelmed by the pressures of life, by his current situation of being in exile. But what did he do? He prayed. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us pray about these matters. Let us take them to the Lord in prayer. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And we think of those words where he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. You see, he didn't say pray in one specific place or not to pray in another place, but he says to pray everywhere. Pray in your car. Now, don't close your eyes when you're driving, but pray in your car. Pray in your work van or your workplace. Pray in your home. Pray in your bedroom. Pray in church at the prayer meeting. Wherever you may be, you can pray. Lift up your head or lift up your hands without wrath and doubting, he says here. But you can bow your head and your heart and seek the Lord in prayer. And here Paul exhorted Timothy who he was and who he was to pray to and what he was to pray for. He stated how he desired for all men to pray everywhere. And this is the wonderful aspect of prayer, that wherever we may be, whatever situation we may be in, doesn't hinder the fact that we can pray. One commentator said, the psalmist grounds his prayer not only in what God has been, but on what God always is to him. I'll repeat it. The psalmist grounds his prayer not only on what God has been, but on what he always is to him. You see, David here, he knew who he was praying to. And he knew that the Lord had helped him in the past. And he knew that the Lord is unchanging. He is immutable. And so he came back to the Lord again. For he says here, when my heart is overwhelmed. And that speaks that he wasn't always feeling overwhelmed. And at times, brethren and sisters, it seems that whenever we're going through a trial, that you wonder, when is this going to end? Perhaps you feel that you're wondering, where is the light at the end of this tunnel? It just seems to be dark. It just seems to be going on forever. But it won't. You see, David's predicament wasn't going on forever. David didn't always feel overwhelmed. Yes, there was times when his heart did feel overwhelmed. And at times, we will feel overwhelmed by life and all the pressures of life and all the circumstances and responsibilities. But we won't always feel overwhelmed. And that is why David said, "When my heart." When my heart. And dear child of God, whenever you feel overwhelmed, pray. Pray on to the Lord. Now we've thought about, first of all, how David prayed. Quickly, let us notice, secondly, the rock to lean upon. Verse number 2, he says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And here David, as we noted in verse 1, he's praying to God. And that name for God there is Elohim. And that speaks of, that signifies to us that God is the supreme God, the one true God whom we worship. David wasn't worshipping a God of his own imagination. He wasn't worshipping a God of the Philistines. No, he was worshipping the one whom he knew as his own personal Savior. He was worshipping the one whom he said in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is the God whom he was worshipping. This is the God whom he was praying unto. And this is the one whom he cried unto, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Notice here he wanted to be guided to the rock. David cries unto God for guidance. "Lead me." Dear child of God, this is something to pray for. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. If you're seeking the will of God for your life, this is something to pray. Lead me. Guide me. Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That word "lead" there, it means to guide, simply. And when we are in a difficult place and we don't know what to do or where to go or where to turn, pray. Cry on to the Lord. "Lord, lead me out of this situation. Guide me, Lord. I don't know the next step to take. I don't know what to do, Lord." You see, you can pray practical things like that. Simple things like that. That's what the Lord wants to hear. That's what the Lord desires to hear from the lips of his children. He says, "Lead me." And whenever we come to a difficult place and don't know how to get through it or what to do, we may be tempted to lose hope. We may be tempted to become fearful and to panic. But you know, the Lord tells us in his word that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I know at times it's very easy to become fearful. It's very easy to fret, isn't it, dear believer? But you know, if we know the Lord and if we are walking close to him, the Lord will come and give us that comfort of his presence so that we will not lose our heads, as it were, but that we will keep a cool head. And even though we will still feel distressed perhaps about it, we will feel the pressure of the difficulty or the distress of the trial, but yet we will know his presence. And it is his presence that maketh the feast, and it is his presence that will give us that grace to sustain us in the trial. He says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Now, some suggest that this is referring to Mount Zion, but I would take of the view that it is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of Christ, he is that rock. He is that rock upon which our salvation is resting upon. God is the rock of, and God is the rock for his people. And isn't it wonderful, brethren and sisters, this morning, that David, even though he felt overwhelmed, he had one to whom he could pray to, and one to whom he could be led by. This word "rocks," figuratively, it speaks of a refuge. And you know, that's what God is for his people. Let me remind you of the words of the 46th Psalm, verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Notice those words, "a very present help in trouble." Dear believer, if you're in trouble, the Lord is your very present help in your trouble. In other words, it means to come forth to appear. Literally, it means something that's very accessible, that help is at hand, help is easy to be found. And so God can be easily accessed day or night by us in our prayers. Now, when you think of a rock is something which is stable. It is a sure object. It can carry a great weight. And it is a place of safety for those who seek refuge within it. If you turn with me to the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah chapter number 32. In Isaiah 32, I want us to read one verse. Isaiah 32, verse 3. And it says, "The eyes of them that shall not be dim, and the ears of them that shall hearken." Oh, sorry, I've written down the wrong reference. But anyway, I'll read what I have in my notes here. It says, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Think of those words here. Isaiah said about a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And that brought me to the words of that hymn that Vernon Charlesworth penned. "The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm." And those words of that hymn are based upon the Psalm 94:22, where the psalmist says, "But the Lord is my defence, and my God is the rock of my refuge." You see, there's so many references in the Psalms to God being our rock, to the Lord being our defence, and the Lord being our refuge. And praise God, dear child of God, this morning. The Lord is our rock, in him we hide. He is that shelter in the time of storm, as Vernon Charlesworth said. If you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. He says in the verse number 24 of Matthew 7. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Thinking back to David, feeling overwhelmed, being in exile away from the house of God, but yet he knew the Lord. Yet he prayed to the Lord. Yet he knew that the Lord would sustain him. And the Lord Jesus Christ says that those who listen to his word and obey his word are like the man that built his house upon the rock. David was that man who built his house upon the rock, and the storms of life came upon David. But yet David did not falter or fail. He fell as a Christian, but he did not ultimately fall away from God. And as the Lord Jesus spoke that parable about the wise man whose house was built upon the rock, the storms came, but the house didn't fall because of its foundation. And praise God, dear Christian, our Lord Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. He is our foundation. It is upon him which we are built upon. And that is why we are able to stand today. That is why this church stands today, because it is founded upon the rock of God's word. And if we depart from that rock, well, then we will crumble and we will fall. You see, the rock, David said, is higher than I. And God is higher than the Sabbath. He is higher than us. And yet, if we want to reach him, we can't on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit to lead us and to guide us closer and deeper into a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we've thought about secondly there, the rock to lean upon. But lastly and quickly, I want us to think about the comfort received. Verses 2 and 3, notice there with me, David says, From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. The Bible commentator Henry said, Angus Matthew Henry, he said, that which separates us from other comforts should drive us so much the nearer to God, the fountain of all comfort. That which separates us from all other comforts should drive us so much the nearer to God, the fountain of all comfort. We thought about David being in exile there, and he was far from the comforts of home, but yet he was not too far from the God of all comfort and the God of all grace. And it's important to remember that whenever we do feel overwhelmed, that we will not always be in that state. We will not always constantly feel overwhelmed. However, following on from the last thought here, he says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. You see, David knew what it was like to rest upon the Lord and pray for previous trials. And you know, at times, brothers and sisters, we like to look back. But you know, the blessings of previous days will not suffice us for the present and for the future. And that is why we need to keep seeking the face of the Lord for new blessings, for a real sense of His presence, to be drawn closer to Him more than we have been before. You know, when He speaks of the shelter here in verse number 3, it speaks of a place of hope, a place of refuge from all the storms and trials of life. And there is only one place of spiritual safety this morning, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're here or you're watching in and you're not saved. You need to rest upon the shelter. You need to be in the shelter of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, for only He can save you. But notice there, David says, thou hast been a shelter for me. For me. Take those two words there, brethren and sisters, and think about it. That God was a shelter for David, but that God is a shelter for you and for me. And here's a personal application here for each and every one of us. That God was a shelter for David. And David knew this to be true in his own life. For he says, thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. And that those words, strong tower, speak of a place that is defensive. A place that was able to protect him from his enemies. When we think of a tower, perhaps you think of Scrabble Tower down in Newton Arch there, and how a tower it's very tall and it's very high, so that you can get a good view over the land to see the enemy before they reach you, and so you're prepared for their coming, that you're prepared for their attacks. And you know, David knew what it felt like to be attacked by the enemy. And you know, the Lord is a strong tower for us from the enemy. A place of defence, a place of safety, a place of refuge. You know, the Proverbs, Solomon says in Proverbs 18 verse 10, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The Lord Jesus Christ is our rock. And David knew this, and he desired to be led to that rock. He desired to know Him more. He desired to pray. Is that true of your life this morning, dear child of God? Is that true of my life? You know, we've been thinking this morning about what to do when we feel overwhelmed. Well, the psalmist, he prayed about it. He sought to be led to the rock, and then there was a comfort that he received. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for His own name's sake. And we even think of those words where David said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for His own name's sake. We're just going to bow and close in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank You for Thy word, and we just pray, Lord, that Lord, Thou wouldst write Thy word upon our hearts. Bless those, Lord, who feel overwhelmed. Bless, Lord, those who are going through difficulties and trials at this time. And Lord, may they know and may they desire to be led to that rock, closer to Him. And Lord, as He is our refuge and as He is our strong tower, we bless You that, Lord, we can turn and we can look to Thee this morning. Part us now in Thy fear and in Thy favour, and take us to our homes in safety. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen.